My name is John McMunn. I'm general manager of Gabrielli, and I'm here with artistic director Paul McCreesh to talk about the music of Michael Pretorius and his iconic Christmas Mass recreation, recorded in 1994 for Deutsche Grammophon and revived this December 2017 for the first time in nearly 20 years. Paul, why such a long gap since the last performance?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I'm not sure entirely what the answer is. I think it's partly because this is a hugely popular program. It's sold remarkably well around the world. The Germans love it, and it's something that a lot of them play on Christmas morning, like we might listen to The Sound of Music on Christmas afternoon. It is music that sounds fantastic, particularly in churches. It needs really big forces, and it works best if you have some congregational input, some singing from the audience, and also it's brilliantly written, not just for professional forces, but also for children's choirs. So he really is the most multifaceted German composer of the early Baroque, and this music is both incredibly theatrical, incredibly colourful, but it's also based on really simple folk-like chorales. So it's a really wonderful mixture between peasant music, if you like, and very high art music. And I'm really quite looking forward to reviving this programme. As you say, it's been rather too long since we've done it.
And I guess it's also the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is it not? So that's as good a reason as any to...
Well, it certainly is. I mean, this is Lutheran music at its most beguiling. And it's actually written in a very clever way. Pretorius writes both for the sort of professional forces of a church, and he writes the most incredibly virtuosic Italian-style music with some really crazy instrumental writing in particular. But at the same time, it's very flexible music, so it can involve both the amateur singers that would have taken part in the churches in those days, the boys' choirs, the town waits, the trumpeters from the military. It really is sort of community music at its best. And there's a wonderful sense of community involvement, which, of course, is really at the heart of Lutheran worship.
So can you tell us a little bit about who Michael Pretorius was? He's not a composer that I'm particularly familiar with, and I think I might not be alone in that.
Well, he's the most published composer of the early 17th century. So he's roughly contemporary with Schütz. But whereas Schütz was writing largely what we might generally call art music, Pretorius's music is very much music for the church, very much practical music. And he published an encyclopedic volume of church music. There's about 20 volumes of it, a vast output. And it ranges from the very simplest four-part hymn tunes to elaborate polychoral music in the style of Gabrielli, for example, where he's writing for four, five, and six choirs. So it's very, very colourful music. It's also designed to be very, very flexible. So he doesn't specify precisely what the scoring should be, or rather, if he does, he also gives you many, many alternatives. So you'll hear in these performances pretty much everything that is possible in the late Renaissance and early Baroque instrumentally. You, of course, have the new-founded violin family playing. You have the organ that has a fantastic role, chamber organs, virginals, harpsichords. But then you have wind players who really play pretty much everything, including the kitchen sink. So cornets and sackbuts, and then all sorts of reed instruments, dulcians, crumb horns, Rauschpfeifen, many, many instruments, shawms of all sizes. He loved the contrabass shawm, big 16-foot instrument, huge, visually exciting instrument, as well as a sonically exciting one. And this is really, you know, the most colourful music you can ever imagine. He also loved to put players and performers in galleries, so there's this real sense of multidimensional music.
So when we think about this programme being, I guess the recording calls it a reconstruction of a Christmas Mass as might have been heard in 1620, there really is a lot of creativity on the side of the performer, the interpreter, isn't there?
Yes, of course there is. And this program, like many of my early recordings, sounding suddenly like an ancient civil, but you know, is very much a speculative reconstruction. It's not a specific composed work. It's a selection of his greatest music, and he particularly excelled writing Christmas music. And these are versions of some of the most famous German Christmas carols that are indeed sung to this day. Vom Himmel hoch, the great, the famous Lutheran chorale, of course. Wie schöne leuchtet der Morgenstern, a beautiful chorale which is still sung. And then Puer nobis nascitur, which we still sing in English, as unto us is born a son. So, and in Dulce Jubilo, many of the famous carols are performed here in their original versions. And I put these all together in the shape of a Christmette, of a Christmas morning service, as you might have heard, in Wolfenbüttel, which was the main court where he worked, around about 1620, just before he died. It's of necessity speculative, and of course I've gone for the best pieces. But it's very typical of the type of music you would have heard in those services.
You've talked a little bit about the congregational element. Is there anything else that's particularly interesting, unique about the shape of the Mass compared to what we might expect today?
The shape of the service is actually very similar to an Anglican or a Catholic communion Mass service today. The basic form is the same. What is nice about this music, and in fact one of the reasons that the project came up, was that it enables us to work with many young musicians, particularly our choirs in the Gabrielli Rohr scheme, which is a scheme that's very much passionate about giving people a chance to sing great classical music, especially from areas where there's not yet a great tradition of choral singing. And this music is a wonderful resource because it's perfectly singable even by very young children, for example. And indeed, we're going to ask the audience to sing as well, and it's going to be absolutely pain-free and will be terribly nice because we'll let the congregation sing their little bits in English so you don't have to go and brush up your schoolboy German. There is something really wonderful about hearing, you know, an audience of several hundred people singing these amazing hymns. Luther himself was a very clever man because, as well as being a great theologian, as we know, and one of the reasons that the Reformation swept Europe so quickly was the ability of Luther to express quite difficult theological concepts into very simple ideas. And he went further than that. He knew the power of a great tune. He was actually quite a successful composer himself. Luther was quite capable of writing polyphony in parts, but he also was very happy for the great hymns that he wrote to steal secular tunes. And if the tune was good, he would steal the tune and write words. And this is really how a lot of these very famous hymn tunes that we now know came into existence. They were originally secular tunes, and Luther wrote texts, or sometimes his colleagues wrote texts to these famous secular tunes. So people who come along in these performances in December are going to have a very interesting, exciting time, I hope, because some of this music will be familiar, some of it will be very unfamiliar, but there'll be a tremendous energy, a tremendous passion in these performances. And some of this music is literally thrilling. We're going to finish with a wonderful setting of the famous German carol in Dulce Jubilo. And this actually involves, as well as all these huge forces, an additional trumpet ensemble. And I always like the pragmatism of Praetorius, because he says trumpet players always play very loud and often they rush a lot. The best thing to do is, if they're too loud, to put them outside the church. So you'll get some idea of the sort of practicalities of this great musician. But this is, you know, this really is the essence of German music. It's not an exaggeration to say that without Praetorius, we wouldn't have all the great music of Schütz and all the great music of Bach in particular. And indeed, that chorale tradition goes through the whole of German music, through Mendelssohn, through Brahms, of course, and into Mahler as well. So this is really the raw beginnings of a great tradition.